and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Strong winds pushing flames through dry brush in the mountains north of Los Angeles. Those in the wildfire's path being told to be prepared to leave if it explodes in size again. Another blaze is burning in Sonoma County, California. This is CAL FIRE spokesman Jason Clay.
On the Point Fire, we're just on the west side of Lake Sonoma. It's been a wind-driven fire that's been aided with low relative humidities, and so kind of driven down towards the south. The northwest winds have really pushed it.
More than 80 million Americans are under heat alerts nationwide this week. Under arrest, a migrant in the country illegally suspected in the murder of a Maryland mother of five who was killed 10 months ago while on a run on a nature trail. Two killed, 14 injured at a Juneteenth event near Austin, Texas over the weekend. Paige Overland was a witness.
And all of a sudden, I just hit the ground immediately.
Nine people injured, including a four-year-old boy in what appears to be a random shooting at a splash pad park outside Detroit. This is ABC News. Some of Broadway's best honored at the Tony Awards.
Stereophonic, about a Fleetwood Mac-like band, won Best New Play Sunday night at the Tony Awards in New York. The Outsiders, a gritty adaptation of the classic young adult novel, won Best New Musical. As a producer, Angelina Jolie landed her first Tony, too.
That's ABC's Chuck Sievertson here in New York. Russian officials this morning saying the espionage trial of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich will begin on June 26th. The trial will be held behind closed doors. He was arrested more than a year ago and faces up to 20 years behind bars if convicted. And a Pennsylvania company that processes 20 million tons of trash every year is literally finding treasure in it. ReWorld says in recent years it's found around $10 million worth of coins in its sorters. Many were too damaged to use, but the company still cashed in about $6 million worth. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Mercury Marine is laying off 252 workers in Fond du Lac and making what it calls workforce adjustments at its other facilities. The job cuts will happen on July 26th. The company blames low sales. Mercury Marine is the biggest employer in Fond du Lac County. A U.S. police officer on January 6th says Donald Trump is unfit to be president. Harry Dunn is now campaigning for President Biden. He tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram that Trump's recent felony convictions should also disqualify him.
As a convicted felon, he's no longer able to possess firearms, but that's all right. He has the code to the nuclear weapon. Another individual may be disqualified from a job because they're a felon. He's now running on the fact that he is convicted.
Dunn campaigned for Biden in Madison on Thursday and Eau Claire on Friday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers with another series win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers win a thriller 5-4 before a sold-out AmFam Field on Father's Day. It's the eighth time in a row the Brewers have beat the Reds in a series. Willie Adames with another dramatic home run in the sixth to take the lead on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Contreras at second, Yelich at first. And Adames into center field. He is watching. This one is back.
Really thought they were going to attack me with the fastball because last time I faced him, he was throwing me a lot of fastballs in. So I just tried to get a pitch closer to me, and, you know, I wasn't looking for it, but I recognized it and, you know, put the barrel on it.
That's Willy Adames. The crew in Anaheim tonight to take on the Angels. In golf, Bryson DeChambeau held on to win his second U.S. Open by beating Rory McIlroy.
I was a little lucky. Rory didn't make a couple putts that he could have coming in. I had an amazing up and down in the last. It's a dream come true.
That's Bryson DeChambeau. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny and breezy today, highs in the upper 80s, slight chance of an afternoon storm. For tonight, partly cloudy, low of 73. Breezy for Tuesday, sunny and hot with highs near 91. For Wednesday, maybe a thunderstorm and a high of 87.
It's 73 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when we're back in the studios of Madison celebrating our Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win win. Join us, all that and more, review of the weekend's news. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. It is summertime today.
All week. This is a big week. This is 90.
90 degrees.
Come on.
90 big ones.
I think, right, Todd? Aren't we supposed to hit 90? I think we are.
This is the earliest we've ever had it, or the warmest we've ever had it. Todd's, it's never good when Todd's out of modular capsule.
Todd, what are you doing on our side?
What are you doing here? You're scaring me, Todd. Yeah. Do this thing.
We know Brittany's not here today, so we're doing the weather. But no, I did 90, 92 like tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot.
Right now it's 74 in Green Bay, 73 in Appleton, 72 in Oshkosh, and the winds are from the absolute due south at 10 to 12 miles an hour.
I don't know. I got to check that. But check, okay, check. I will.
10 to 12, Todd. 10 to 12.
I get my phone.
10 to 12.
Okay.
3-degree guarantee, 10 to 12. And 3 miles per hour guarantee.
That's right.
What do you got there, Todd?
Looks like from the south.
Mm-hmm.
At 7.
7, that's it?
That's it, according to this.
It's a lot stronger than that. Today is Eat Your Vegetables Day.
I have 8 for the...
Wind? I'm
going
10 to 12.
You're 10 to 12. Well, you're closer. Yeah. It's still, you didn't make 10?
Yeah.
Well, 10 to 12, that would make the 3-degree. Or the 3... What
yeah,
would you call
MPH.
3 MPH.
Doesn't have to create the ring to it. Today is, I don't think this is a good term to use anymore. Garbage man day.
Well,
Todd?
There's a couple things wrong with that.
Okay.
It's, first of all, man.
Okay.
We don't use that anymore. Like
right.
When you see those signs in those small cities, men working.
Yeah.
You know those
yeah.
triangles?
Yeah.
There's
a lot of women.
Yes.
Yes.
And then they're called sanitation engineers now instead of garbage.
Absolutely.
So that is weird that they would... That's odd that they wouldn't have changed that to
yes.
Sanitation. What would you
workers,
call that?
Sanitation
workers. Workers Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big mob thing, you know, in New York, New Jersey.
Pretty much everywhere.
Is it?
Pretty much everywhere.
Okay.
Here too?
Well.
Huh?
I don't know. I
Jim?
No, it's just
the
private. The private, right?
Is that where you got that cardboard box?
And what's in that box, by
yeah,
the way?
Yeah. The one Milton was playing with at Christmas?
Yeah. Full of cash.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. I mean, it's a little bit mafia, but on the other hand, you know, you get those contracts. Those are huge, huge, huge contracts.
That's what I've heard.
The sanitation for
yeah.
Think
people,
about that.
People,
Jersey?
I've heard people would do a lot of things to get those contracts.
Right.
Yes. And if they're in danger of losing one of those contracts, things weren't so good.
They were
have you ever listened to
they
that?
Were in danger.
Have you ever listened to that? And this has to be like Rudy Giuliani's finest moment, really. And I know the 9/11 thing, but when he took down the entire mob, he took down like 5 families. That is actually pretty amazing. But it's really funny because the way they did it was they finally got into the homes
mm-hmm.
and tapped all their phone lines and everything. Mm-hmm. But one of the really funny things was, and there are these old Italian guys, and it's like, mm-hmm. Tony, I swear on my mother's eyes, I'm going to take it as a, you know what I mean? I mean, it's the most graphic things ever. I mean, I swear.
That, I
but, here's the funny part, though. So the FBI agents were talking, they're playing these and talking about how, you know, they're getting some good stuff. And then all of a sudden they're hearing from one of the guys, I don't know, Tony Giovanni or whatever, goes, something really disturbing. Somebody listen, what is, it's really disturbing. Something's happening. Are we going? He was having sex with his mate when his wife walked out the door.
But that,
it's like, oh, well, there were things they didn't want to hear.
The I know you have kids that live in New York, as do I. And when you have some time, you know, there's everybody goes and sees, you know, the major tourist things. But there's a mafia tour that you can take, and the guy, kind of entertaining. I mean, everybody there wants to be an actor. A lot of people there, but he like 10, 12 people. It's a walking tour. And he takes you right to that place you're talking about where John Gotti was, upstairs. Oh, that, yeah, old lady that tapped, it was her apartment.
Yeah.
They were downstairs. She was upstairs, and they tapped her phones. And you walk right by the place. You walk by these restaurants. And remember when, well, this is a few years ago, but then, you know, they riddled that guy right in front of the restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
Little Italy.
Yeah, and they show you the picture right there. And then you're standing there. It's like, wow, that was right there.
Wow.
But that is a great walking tour. It's, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours. And you got to be able to, you know, walk a little bit. But the guy's super entertaining, and you know, I talked to him about Whitey, you know?
Yeah.
And his brother knew him.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he's, wow, like, was not a good person.
Wow.
Anyway, that's a good tour to take. And, you know, everybody there is doing a side hustle, right? In New York. And this guy, I mean, he was trying out for theater and did some other stuff. He was actually in, like, banking before that, but really knew a lot of the back stories. And then he had, like, photos that he would show you. You're walking down and this restaurant, and then he'd show you something about that. But it was very, very cool. It's a great tour. Anyway,
I would do that.
He had the stories that some of the stuff we can't say on air, but he had some of this, like you're talking about.
And oh,
he
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it was
I'd
great.
Love that.
Anyway,
by the way, another, I would always want to be a quote unquote sanitation guy. Back, because I mean, I told you I used to be one of those people that would drive around and see what people would put out, and I've taken furniture,
a took junk a really collector. Old,
yeah, I don't know if that's the well, right term, but. It's a reclamation. I consider myself a reclamation engineer because I was reclaiming that stuff. I think I was doing society a favor.
Junk picker. Okay, but that's, yeah, that's great. We'll call you what you want. But you, so you would drive around the day before the garbage came out. And,
yes.
And yes, we, especially when it's bulk pickup.
Absolutely.
You guys would always drive around. Yeah, and it's amazing what you would take. But that's fine. Chairs.
I still have furniture that I
right.
Yeah. Old, really old stuff. Those old, you know, you used to find a lot of, grandma would sell the house and go to a home or something, and then have those old washstands. The kind of like if you're in upstairs to the Long Branch Saloon in one of those rooms.
Right.
Like with the picture on it. I bet I picked up three or four of those over the year.
There was a guy that would drive through our neighborhood. And this is, I'm sure he's not around anymore, but his like pickup truck looked like Beverly Hills Bills.
Yeah.
He had stuff. I mean, it was he like stacked really, really high.
I picked up that one bike from, I think it was 1942 bike, Schwinn bike. Guy fixed it up for me beautifully. We raffled it off for a charity. I think the night of the tattoo party. Made a lot of money from it. Yeah. I loved that. I'm sorry. But it's just going into a landfill.
Right. I mean, that's great. Anything we can recycle is that's good. My experience, when I look at a garbage man day, or now, as we call it now, sanitation engineer workers day, when I got elected.
Basically they're just truck drivers now.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, back in the day, I just want to tell you, Johnny, in 2004, we still had the two men that
they would jump out.
And the cans.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, you can't vote for Schmidt. He doesn't know anything about government. It's all private sector, which is probably a little bit true. So I said, you know what? If I get elected, I'm going to spend a day, you know, with every department. So I spent, you know, 24 hours with the firefighters, slept there, ate there, calls, did 24 hours with the police, which was, that was a little tougher than I expected. Anyway, so I worked with the garbage guys. So the way it works is there's three guys, right? There's a driver and two guys on the back of the truck.
It's standing and hanging on?
Right.
Okay.
That was before.
That's old school, yeah.
That was not that long ago, if you think about
it. No, I know. I was living in Alloway when he had the guy. I was just complaining to me because I'd have so much, like, scrap wood and things out there.
Well, the way that works is they would rotate. So you got your CDL license. So one guy would drive for an hour, and then the other guy's and then you switch it.
Okay.
Well, I didn't have my CDL license.
Right.
So I was on the back
the whole time.
And then those guys, I think they kind of picked on me a little bit in retrospect. I worked the route down here on like Maple and stuff.
Okay.
and you'd pick up the garbage. You take the tin can off, you know, the metal can. Fish heads and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I got the dry heaves. I'm not kidding. I did. I did, you guys. I was like sick. And then they thought that, I think they were laughing at me a little bit. Just brand new.
Well, you remember the guy, who was the guy who used to do Sunday morning shows, really famous, and then he died young.
Krull?
Nope. Died of a heart attack. He's from Buffalo, New York. Oh,
Tim Russert?
Tim Russert. Yeah. Tim Russert. His dad was a garbage man.
Oh, really?
In Buffalo. And he used to work like summers with him. He said the number one thing you learned when you take off a garbage can lid, you hold it this way because there'd be rats in there sometimes.
Yeah, right.
And if you do it this way, they could jump out at you. So, I mean, that's quite the job.
Some of those guys
had.
Carried pistols, not here, but I mean, some areas because of their rats, not here.
Oh, really?
I just want to say that. I got into the whole garbage. I learned a little bit more after the fact. But anyway, I just want to say that I don't think they treated me very well because I was on the back of the truck all 8 hours. I never got to drive.
They treated me very well.
But get this, Johnny. The next day, we went to, we're House on the Rock.
Spring Green and
Spring
stuff
Green
like that,
and Frank Lloyd Wright's houses there. What's that called? His
Taliesin.
So we went there, and
thank God for Todd having every answer.
I know, right? I just want to say, but my point is that so I did the garbage thing, and then we drove there. I could not get out of the car when I, because of
so
my
sore.
I was so sore.
I'll bet. I mean, I can imagine.
I didn't, you know, it's like, okay, kids, go in there and tell me what House on the Rock looks like.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
That was work. So automated garbage pickup, and everybody's like, oh, you can't do that because it's going to take away jobs. Yeah, maybe a little bit true, but just in terms of the rotator cuff, you know, our injuries went down like thousands of dollars in the first year. So anyway, automated garbage pickup is where it's at. But we were very, very late in the game to do that. Green Bay was, and I don't know where Alloway was. But anyway, my experience when I see this today, it's still a tough job, but man, it used to be a lot.
Yeah,
I think
tough. I wouldn't, especially, and in the UP in those winters, they have up there.
Oh, the winter, right.
And they're standing on the back, hanging on.
No, it was the summer.
I give those guys all the credit in the world.
You get these 92-degree days.
On the smell of everything, yeah. I can imagine.
Ugh. So, all right, sanitation engineers, God bless them.
God bless you. It's your day. Apple strudel day. Can't have a bad apple strudel.
No, that's good stuff.
Animal rights week, okay? It's also forgiveness week.
Forgiveness week.
Forgiveness week.
I've never heard of that.
Me neither. That seems a little,
wow.
This week.
So what do you do?
Week.
Does anybody know anything about that? Do you like write a letter?
In your past.
Right.
You'd like to forgive.
I mean, is it forgiveness? So we're going to get a bunch of letters from people who've crossed us over the years?
I think it should be more people should forgive me. Hey, everybody, listen. Congratulations. Today is National Forgiveness Week.
Right. You're forgiven.
You can forgive me for everything, okay? I'm forgiving myself. There you go. Barry Manilow, 81, still going strong. Jody Whittaker,
who's
Jody
coming,
Whittaker?
I just want to say that Barry Manilow, that's July, right? That's next month.
Yeah.
He's coming here. $265. I was going to get you tickets for you.
No, I'm not going out.
I know. I looked at that.
These ticket prices for concerts have gotten beyond anything ever.
Yeah, that's...
Ever.
Actress Jody Whittaker right there.
Jody Whittaker. Who is she?
That's her.
Yeah, I don't recognize her. Was she had anything big? Todd, did you put me on to Arrested Development?
I don't know.
Did you put me on?
No, that wasn't
that's
me.
That's a
but
funny show.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
You know, another one I've been watching that's funny is Space Force. Have you seen that with Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Oh, that one's funny, too.
Who is this Todd? Who's this Jody?
Jody Whittaker. She's an actress. She's done a few things, primarily in the UK, but also here in the U.S.
All right.
I thought for sure John would know who
she
was.
No, I don't get that
She looks like
one.
Your type, John.
What is that supposed to mean?
He's like, she just, I don't know, young, attractive. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's not most guys. That's not their thing. Well, thanks for that, Jim. Okay. We got to start a quick break. We got a full lineup today, folks.
Yeah, we do.
Stay
it's a
with
good
us.
Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
At Fleet Farm, we know every sunny day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday fishing gear from Rapala, Berkeley, and Minn Kota. Everyday grilling goods from Weber, Kingsford, and Blackstone. Everyday camping gear from Coleman, Yeti, and Eureka. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Sly and the Family Stone, 1971. Everyday people. That's what I'm talking about. We're everyday people here on Monday morning. I mean, 91 degrees coming up this week. It's unbelievable. I'm Johnny the Puker. Good morning. Yes. So we got to talk about the golf tournament yesterday.
Yeah.
Got to talk about it. I love major golf tournaments. That's one of my favorite things in the world. The last two rounds of a major golf tournament. I'll take that over almost anything. And I was pulling for Rory yesterday.
And how great it is to watch on TV, isn't it?
Yes.
That is a TV spectator
that
sport.
That certainly is.
I've been to those things and... That,
no,
yes.
You got to be on TV. You know why? Because you miss so much.
You do.
When we used to cover them, like in Tucson and Phoenix and Flint and different places, you're here getting this shot, and you hear this huge roar
behind you.
And you miss that, and it's really hard to cover without all the different towers.
Even when they had the PGA here, you know, we went to that. And I like watching golf. I'm not a great golfer, but I did not enjoy it at all. I just didn't. And I was like, I always picked the wrong hole.
Yeah.
And then you want to follow the guy. Well, if you follow a person, you got to get there so early.
By the time you get there, then there's a whole bunch of other people.
Right. You wait and wait and wait.
I agree. I'm not a person to go to golf tournaments.
In TV, they got like 9 different cameras and it's.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this guy, he.
Rory. He missed two of the shortest, most critical putts in a major tournament I've ever seen. I've seen one. We've all seen one. But two out of his last three holes that were literally this far away. And he hadn't missed one under that distance. Of the two he missed, 349 putts of that distance or less. He hasn't missed one for the year.
Really?
Not one. Not one of those days where it's cold early or the wind's really blowing and things happen. Not a single one, and he misses two of them to win a major golf tournament.
Was the weather?
Unbelievable. Weather was perfect.
Wow.
Perfect.
So he just choked.
He just choked. There's no other way you can put it, and guys will admit it. You know, there was, you can't say that. He just choked. You know, let me tell you something. You know, there's nobody listening here, or maybe there's one person who could go out to Lambeau Field and right now kick a 58-yard field goal, okay, or a 52-yard field goal, or throw a 70-yard pass or hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball over the left field, okay?
Yeah.
But they can 90% of the people there have made putts that long.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is this isn't some kind of thing.
We could have made it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This isn't one of those things where it's like, he was really in the rough and he was buried in an uphill lie and all those things. It's the same putt that we've all made 1,000 times, and that's what has to just – be driving him insane. He wouldn't talk to media.
I was going
to
say, what did he say?
Got in his car and just left.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Devastating.
I wonder what he was thinking about when he made the, like, if something got in his head or if he just. Like, if it's too easy.
One of them, you could tell he went real quick.
Yeah.
Just went real quick.
Yeah.
And just missed it. Then the next one, he studied and lipped it out.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So then who won?
Bryson DeChambeau.
He won before?
I think it's his second major, if I'm not mistaken. He's something else. You know, his whole story where he bulked up to like 275 pounds a couple of years ago so he could hit it like 400 yards. Then he got in a huge peeing match with Brooks Koepka. They hated each other and the fans would get on each other. And then he left the PGA for LIV, yada, yada, yada. So he's this almost like larger than life character. So it's almost like you either really like him or really don't like him. One of the two, one of those kind of guys.
This happens more and more in sports.
Yeah.
Hey, something, I know you follow sports much more than I do, but it's pretty cool to see these teams that they counted out, like in basketball, right?
And, yeah.
and then they come back and just really smoke that
Dallas, with,
yeah,
Boston.
That one's
been going that way the whole time. One team just slaughters the other
right,
team.
Right, it's not.
Then it's this gets three, reversed.
Four, you're right.
Yeah.
So that's tonight, though, right?
Yeah, nice win for Caitlin Clark and her team yesterday.
Yes, I saw that.
Caitlin Clark had 23 points, beat Chicago, who has Angel Reese on their team, which her Caitlin Clark had the big brouhaha 2 years ago in the NCAA tournament. So it's a big win for her. And
then the other thing, I try to read up so I can keep up with you, hockey, right?
Yeah, I don't follow the Stanley Cup much. I really don't.
I think that's...
It gets so long. You know what I mean? It just gets...
I don't like watching.
So long.
Yeah, but I think it was the team that was out, like, blew the other team away. I think that's weird how you can... You know, you come back and you don't just beat them by one or two. It's like, wasn't it 8-1 or something?
Yeah.
It's just crazy that...
Anyways,
that's... coming up. And it's nice that sports. Yeah. Well, we have sports 12 months.
And we had I had a good time. Oh, I had a funny thing happen a little bit. So the event I hosted Saturday, okay, and the Packerettes were there. The 1970s Packerettes. So these are 1973 through 79, I think.
But those cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders. They're Packer cheerleaders. And they were all high school girls at the time, okay?
70s. So they're how old? They're old.
Well, my age, exactly my age. And your age, I mean.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm thinking I'd add that up. Okay, so they're, 65.
But anyway, they're still cool. Like I said, you know, when I was at the games, I was in high school, and there you guys were, it's like, you know, wow, these are the coolest high school girls in all of Green Bay. All of Green Bay, there's the coolest high school girls that are Packer cheerleaders. I said, I remember thinking to myself, there's not a single one that would have dated me when I was in high school. And one of them goes, try us now.
And all right, to be continued. Yeah, that's awesome.
But they were great. That was fun talking about that stuff. Okay, one of my buddies there, Johnny, the biggest news from the weekend is the funeral bar. Sent me pictures of a funeral home in Manitowoc that has a bar attached to it.
Oh, that was your idea?
Yeah.
Oh,
totally my idea.
That was your idea.
I got a lot of ideas that get stolen. Yeah.
They got a liquor license?
Yeah.
And are they open when there's not a funeral? Is it truly called the funeral bar?
I don't think it is. But when they have a funeral, it's open for that.
It'd be a cool funeral bar, but maybe a little depressing.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Mm. But you know what I'd make some money on is, you know, people die every day. I would honor like a celebrity if they die. I would like have them, I would celebrate them and have them come to the funeral bar. Like I'd have like a tribute to them every day. So,
if Barry Manilow died today.
Right. I would have, and they'd come in, play his music. But then when there's a funeral, they would trump that, right? They would have precedence.
That is not a bad idea. Todd?
I'm all for it. I mean, he's the one that stopped you from doing it, right?
Yes.
I did, but I was worried about the laws.
You stopped me from doing that? You stopped me from my quarterback contest? You stopped me from a lot of things, Dad.
I'm saying the reason I was concerned about your success with the funeral bar was that you were just going to honor people. And I'm like, well, if they don't want to have a bar, you could be dry for weeks. Now, with people dying, and who died today that was famous? Probably somebody, and we could honor them tonight. Show clippets of their films.
I like it.
Music.
I like it a lot.
Talk about their political history.
That one just went south.
What all three of you, what would the three of you like to drink?
I like this. A funeral bar.
Because
like on the night of the Buddy Holly anniversary of his thing or whatever. Or?
Totally.
Yeah.
We could, we always honor birthdays, but they're.
Yeah.
Like I think sometimes you look up and so and so, you know, could have done something on Prince.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, he died on what, June 25th?
I like the way you're thinking.
Okay, we can make some money. The funeral bar.
It's always, how do we make money? We want to honor him, but we want to make money. We got to set a quick break. Andy Van Handel, Chris Vincent, Freedom Free Fall July event coming up.
That's cool.
Going to be a cool thing. Drew is coming on to talk about a film. Kim Massey, speed coaching event. Ashley Shepard, Sonder Coffey. Lots of stuff back right after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Monday. As summer rolls in, so do tractor safety courses. These are a must for anyone gearing up to handle machinery on the farm or in the yard. Even if you're a teenager eyeing up your driver's license, tractor safety courses offer important information on navigating roads alongside agricultural implements. Scott Royce is a crops and soils educator for the Division of Extension. He leads a tractor safety course in Antigo. He says accidents can happen anytime.
Well, certainly some of the more common causes of tractor accidents are, when they're on a roadway at least, are usually inattentive driving or unaware drivers and, you know, differences in speed on when they're on roadways and things like that. So on roadways, it's one set of circumstances. On the farm, tractor accidents, the majority of tractor accidents are usually actually rollovers or as far as where there could potentially be injuries involved.
Scott Royce is a crops and soils regional educator with the Division of Extension. You can find tractor safety courses near you through the Division of Extension website. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news next.
One of the most common questions that farmers ask is, why don't we see marketing for our dairy products in our state? Where should we be looking? Tina Peterson, Director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, sheds light on how you can see your checkoff dollars at work.
Well, this is the perfect time of the year for them to ask that. In every media market across the state in June, we have over 57 dairy farm families featured on local news stations telling their dairy story and encouraging consumers to really celebrate June Dairy Month. But outside of Wisconsin is actually where we spend a majority of our efforts. We know that in Wisconsin, we appreciate our dairy farmers and our dairy products, but we really need to grow demand outside of Wisconsin. In fact, 90% of the milk in Wisconsin is made into cheese, and 90% of that cheese is sold outside of Wisconsin. So growing those export markets, growing demand across the United States, whether it's out in Washington or down in Florida, those are the areas that we really target to make sure we're growing demand.
Visit wisconsindairy.org to learn more.
The maple syrup production numbers are in for Wisconsin. The sap season got an early start this year with a heat wave in late July. Producers were able to take advantage of that bonus sap if they tapped early enough. Wisconsin harvested 458,000 gallons. This is up 1,000 gallons from last year. Wisconsin ranks fourth in the nation for maple syrup production. In other news, the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute is collecting ticks for a research project to help prevent diseases like Lyme disease. So far, the Institute has identified more than 3,200 ticks. Most of these were common, like the dog, wood, and deer ticks. But they also found ticks typically located in the southern part of the country, like the Lone Star ticks. Scientists are working to determine the extent of the spread and the potential health effects. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny and breezy today. Highs in the upper 80s. Slight chance of an afternoon storm. For tonight, partly cloudy. Low of 73. Breezy for Tuesday. Sunny and hot with highs near 91. For Wednesday, maybe a thunderstorm and a high of 87.
It's 73 at our studios.
Progressive presents 10 things on a food truck owner's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Stocking the fridge, prepping the stations, finding employees that get along well, finding employees that actually do their job. Looking at you, Gary. Balancing the books, balancing the flavors, having a fresh menu and fresh produce and fresh meat, but never a fresh mouth. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Many people with unique homes reach out to Pella because our team of experts can customize windows and doors that match architecture from any era.
I love that I have a home that's 100 years old. It's a historic district, and we didn't want to ruin the look by having modern windows in an older home. When I found out that Pella had an architecturally accurate product line, they simply guided us and helped us to make a great decision for our home.
Order today and get 0% interest for up to 48 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Certain restrictions apply at 6/30/2024.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. this part of the show or want to share it with a friend, check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. What's the best word to describe it up there right now, Drew?
Hot.
Hot. I mean, handy. Yeah, hot. Already 75 degrees in Appleton, 74 in Green Bay, 72 in Oshkosh. It's supposed to be up to 91 or 92 tomorrow. And when Andy Van Handel. I always want to add an extra thing in there. I want to add like a Vander something. Nope. I always want to do Vander something.
Well, that's because there's so much of those. The Vander, there's a lot of that, but Van Handel is...
Yeah.
It's always actually easier.
Yes. And your buddy Chris Vincent will be coming from the Freedom Free Fall. I'm all over the place today. But anyway, first thing you said was, hey, this weather reminds me of the first one we did in Amaro a few years ago, you and me and a handful of people.
Well, almost 10 years ago.
Is it really?
2015, yeah.
Wow.
It was so hot that day. I think it was a little warmer that day even than today, believe it or not, but...
So refresh us on exactly what this is then. You're in Amaro. Now you're in, tell me about it.
So the event started in Amaro in 2015,
right,
where we took 9 veterans from 6 different wars in one day. Extremely hot that day. The first 2 years it was at the drop zone in Amaro.
Yeah.
The owners since retired and they closed their doors. So we started the next 3 or 4 years where it was at the drop zone near Madison, just north of Madison, near Columbus, Wisconsin. The event grew. I just looking at the Facebook history of it, and I think 2018 or 2019 we put up 35 veterans that year. In 2020 it went
and people have to remember, if you have 35 veterans, you get 35 volunteers.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a machine. It's turned into a big monster, which is what we've always wanted. In 2020 or so, it went to 2 different drop zones, us and the drop zone in Pulaski.
Right.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year it was at like 6 different drop zones across the country, but we kind of scaled that back so we can make it more of an event at each drop zone rather than just shuffling the veterans through like, you know, everyday tandems.
I think you should do it like D-Day. Just have a big transport plane go over and they all go out. What do you think?
A big C-47.
Yeah.
Just push them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So how do they qualify to be, to become a veteran that you parachute with?
They sign up through HOA's website.
Okay.
Which is HOAHWI.org. And basically getting the word out. The event's been around long enough now where it's become a program actually on HOA's website, not just an event. So they sign up, this whole application process, they submit a bio, and I think this year we had more applications than slots, which is a good thing. I know 1 year we were really short, like 2 weeks before the event, and our buddy Will Koken from HOA put out a big Facebook message. The next day we had like 80 applications. So,
and describe it though. Describe the day.
So the day starts out. I know I'm not sure how they're doing it in Pulaski this year. Vinny will fill us in on that shortly. But we got a total of 20 veterans coming down by the drop zone in Madison. The first group, we were going to have a group of 10, actually 11, because one said she wanted morning instead of afternoon. But we'll make it work. Down in Madison, we've got 3 or 4 tandem instructors like myself. So we're going to be working, and that's all good. They'll check in with the HOA people. They give them their waiver to fill out. Then they hand them over to us. They fill out our 13-page waiver.
Wow.
Gotta cover all the bases.
Yeah.
And then we train them in our little Cessna 182 airplanes. Only 2 veterans can go up at a time. So it's a long day, but I'm encouraging all the veterans. I've even gotten a hold of some of the veterans that have jumped in the past to come out for the camaraderie.
Right.
To support it. And we're working on having food for the guys. And it becomes like just the general support and camaraderie that a lot of these guys have lost since they've been out of the military.
And have they jumped before? Most of them, all of them, or is this sometimes new?
Some of them are airborne. They jumped in the military.
Right.
Excuse me. But the military stuff is completely different than what we do. It's night and day. I mean, you're jumping out of the sky, but that's about it. But
well, tell about the guy that the year in Amaro his last jump had been like 1952. Wasn't that right?
Yeah. So the first year in AMRA, we took Ollie, I think.
Ollie, yes.
Our World War II veteran. His last jump was in like 1940s. That's right. It was his first jump in like 70 some years, you know? So yeah, he is, that gentleman was, he's an amazing guy. Amazing guy.
Well, you've done it before. That means you should do it again.
In AMRO. I jumped in AMRO.
Yeah.
Your training, though, our training was, I thought it was a little light. You know, all of a sudden, it's like we're up in a plane, you know. It's like, what do you do for training?
So these guys are doing a tandem skydive. So they're.
Okay, we didn't do that.
So. Yeah, well, maybe they didn't have it around way back
right.
then, Jim.
Yeah, but, way back then, thanks. Back then, it wasn't, that wasn't what, come
so
to think of it.
Did you go on your own?
It was static line, but we jumped on our own.
Yeah,
okay. I actually learned on the static line method, but I went through.
And what that means is you don't have to worry about pulling the cord,
correct.
Right?
Okay. You let go of the airplane, opens on. Well,
yeah, but you still have to practice because in case there would be a malfunction, you have to arch back and pull out the emergency chute and throw the thing away. And but our training was kind of like, it wasn't a video, but it wasn't, I didn't feel real trained when I went up there, I'll be honest with you.
The training we do with the guys, it starts when they start filling out the paperwork. There's a 10-minute video that they're required to watch by United Parachute Technologies, who makes the tandem skydiving gear we use. It's their waiver video, along with a 2-page waiver they have. See a trend?
Yeah. Because some guy got, somebody died up in AMRO, like back, well, it's probably in the late 70s.
Yeah, I think.
And then I think they waivers became, because we just was the guy, I think we just signed something and the guy's like, you're on your own. We're like, okay.
Yeah, and every drop zone in this country has their own waiver. And down at Seven Hills, one of the reasons I love jumping down there is there's the safety standard, and then we take it up to another level. You know, we go above and beyond. But to answer your question, the training consists with the tandem skydive. It's basically showing them how to get out of the airplane. And some of these guys might have bad knees or ankles, which in a Cessna 182, it's a tiny little airplane. We work with them. We've got a very good group of instructors that we're capable of making adjustments. Typically, it's a kneeling type exit. Obviously, with Ollie, our World War II veteran we took, we didn't have him kneel. He wanted to. He was showing us on the concrete floor of the hangar he could. But I'm like, nah, we're going to modify this a bit.
Yeah.
Do you, when you guys did a gym, because when you watch the movies, a big part of it is how they land, you know, so you don't get hurt when you land.
Yeah.
What do you guys teach them versus what they would teach, you know, in the actual military and everything?
Yeah. So
you guys land pretty soft.
Oh, yeah. With our parachutes.
They make it look a lot easier, I think. Ours, I just want to say, and you, tandem means that you are with them. So you're, when we were alone.
Chest to chest or back to back? Or is it?
No.
They're on the front of the instructor, back to the front of the instructor.
Okay,
that makes sense.
It's a big spoon.
Yeah,
ours.
Obviously, the instructor wears the rig, the parachute rig, to main on reserve parachute.
And then ours, we had headsets, and they would say toggle left, toggle right, to pull, because you want to. I mean, you guys know what you're doing. We didn't know anything what we were doing, but you want to land kind of going backwards without like we don't. Run like these guys, they make it look so easy. We just all we want to do is hit the ground and live, but it, you know, they tell you to slow down. And I mean, and that's you guys, we're on radio the whole time, anyway.
So, our landings are actually very soft.
Yeah,
I mean, we take into consideration everything with the weather, if it gets too windy, if it gets too turbulent with the winds, which this year it's been that way almost every weekend, but We go above and beyond for safety too, and we have ram air parachutes, meaning they do have a forward speed. We can steer them with the steering toggles, and when we come into land, we flare the parachute, which is essentially a non-rigid wing. So when we flare the parachute wing, it actually like flaps on an airplane wing. It'll slow our forward speed down. We touch down, nice soft landing.
Wow,
it's amazing how accurate you guys are, and how accurate you wanted us to be. We were all in the same area, but and then you're supposed to get when we land, you're supposed to get up and run around to like stop the chute from being this.
Well, I bet you that could take you for a ride.
It can.
It's
a little bit different with tandem because we got one brain or two brains and four legs.
It doesn't
quite work to run, so we typically land sliding on our butts because we don't want any forward speed. We don't trip over anybody. If it is a little bit breezy, we have catchers on the ground where as soon as we land, we hand them the steering toggles, they'll pull them and they'll collapse our parachute for us. It's very difficult to do.
When you didn't offer that to us.
I can imagine. Who folds the parachutes and everything?
The instructor does.
Okay.
I know some places they teach the students on jump number one that they can pull. And the way the tandem gear is set up is that there's actually a deployment handle on either side. So, you know, if they grab an arm or something, we've got a free arm. And
so when you jumped in the military, how many jumps did you make?
I actually didn't jump at all in the military.
Oh, you didn't? You did it afterwards then?
I actually went up to my company commander when I was in the National Guard, because at the time I had, several skydives, maybe 50 or 100, and to see if that would transition into getting my airborne wings in the military. He laughed and said, no, it's completely different.
You still have to start from ground zero through the whole thing.
Yep.
That's rough training, I've heard, huh?
And how high are you when you jump?
So I'd be really high.
Some of us were. 5, 6, 4, 3 Where were you?
So with the tandem skydive in our small airplanes, we go up to 10,000 feet.
Wow.
Mostly because the little airplanes really won't climb much higher, especially in the summertime. Not efficiently anyway. You could go higher, but you're going to burn a ton of fuel. And when it's hot, the airplanes climb much, much slower as well.
I just remember the guy saying, and I took advantage of it after, you know, the reality struck in, but it is beautiful. I mean, you're up there. It is so peaceful. And I just remember seeing a bunch of farms, which kind of Ramro anyway.
I spent 9 years at the drop zone in Pulaski and up there, man, on a clear day. You can see the whole Door Peninsula all the way up to Washington Island.
Really?
Down in Madison where we jump, I mean, most days you can see Madison real well. We're about 20 minutes north of Madison. On a very clear day, you can see the skyline of Milwaukee right on the horizon.
That 100 miles.
Last year, we were battling the wildfire smoke.
Oh, yeah.
So that's right.
The visibility wasn't great, you know.
But I think it's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I don't want to die, I don't want to die type thing. But once the reality sets in, like, wait a minute, I got 3 minutes to enjoy this view. Like he said,
what's the sensation?
It's just, there's nothing like it, right? I mean, you've done it 100 times. I've done it once.
There's no way to explain it.
Right. Somebody told me once that it's more of a feeling that the ground is rising to you than you're going to the ground.
Sort of. I mean, if you get ground rush with skydiving, you're too low, you should probably open a parachute up. I mean, there's no, there really isn't a ground rush. I mean, it's, you feel like you're floating more or less.
That's okay.
Yeah. And you can hear the wind, you can feel the wind, you don't get that stomach sinking, falling sensation.
Huh?
Okay. No, none of that.
But there's a point, you know, you've done it 100 times, but there's a point where it's like, look, I'm going to live. Yeah. I really want to enjoy this because I was one of those guys that I'm never going to do this again type thing, you know, but it's very, very cool. I think, and that's really neat that you take people up there a little bit older, you know, because that's, a treat in life.
That's one thing where skydiving, even since I've been skydiving in 99, tandem skydiving was fairly big.
Right.
When I started skydiving in 99, it was done under tandem skydiving, was done under exemption to the FAA rules. And now all tandem instructors have to have a class 3 medical, which is the same one a student pilot has to have. And because of that, now it's part of everyday skydiving. But it's really revolutionized who we can take. I mean, I've taken people who literally can't use their legs, and we've made it work.
That's awesome. You know?
So, there's a lot of extra things we have to do.
So people that you take, I would just think there'd be a huge market for non-veterans, but your focus and your energy is on veterans.
Yeah, I do every weekend I'm skydiving, taking, you know, we get a lot of college students from UW down by Madison, but it's a lot. Literally almost anybody can make a skydive now.
Wow. But your event, what you do, what you're known for, are taking veterans, and these people, you kind of honor them, right? They talk about them when you take them up.
Absolutely.
And bring them down. Absolutely. And there's family there.
Yep.
It's a cool thing.
We encourage families and friends and obviously other veterans to come support.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And there's nothing like it, right? Yeah. I mean, you know that better than anybody.
I used to show up just in case somebody couldn't make it. I'd be like the fill-in.
Here we go. Yeah.
So, what?
Johnny, tell us about, when we get back, tell us about your skydiving experience.
When I was in the 82nd or 101st. Yes, hit a quick break.
That's what was his number as a fill-in. You know?
Fine. I'll be back with more after.
Crazy about Elvis, loves horses. than her boyfriend too.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hi, folks. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about how to spend less when you're shopping online. As a busy mom, I know that online shopping can be convenient. Sometimes a little too convenient. Today's tip is don't fall for the free shipping. You know that moment when you've got the thing you were looking for in your online shopping cart and, oh, look, if you just add like 11 more bucks of stuff, you can get some free shipping? Before you click on that fancy pair of socks that you really don't need, go check the actual shipping costs. It's usually still cheaper to pay for shipping. I mean, you really think those companies are offering free shipping just because they're nice? We all love deals, but when you're trying to save money, if you don't need a thing, think twice before buying the thing. For more savings tips, head over to workmoney.org, check out my videos on YouTube, or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here, and a good luck at Monday morning in 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WSS. The Civic Media app is still beautiful out there right now. Appleton 75, Green Bay 74, Oshkosh 72. We're talking about skydiving, the Freedom Free Fall July event coming up. Andy Van Handel is here. Chris Vincent will be joining us. We're going to talk a little bit more about how veterans can take part in something like this, and you don't have to have airborne experience.
No.
And the one of the first things, one of the ladies I know that was instrumental in formulating something like this, and it wasn't even an organization at the time. It was just like she wanted to get into skydiving, lost her fiance and everything. And she was taking up people with post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
And that was really helping, wasn't it? I mean, that's kind of like where this all began, wasn't it?
Yeah, I started skydiving November of 1999. It was actually warm in November for a few years there, believe it or not. But I remember, and I've told this story quite often, when 9/11 hit, and rightfully so, most aircraft were grounded for a few weeks after 9/11, right? But I remember going out to the drop zone and feeling...
Your buddy's knocking on the window.
Yeah, Vinny's here. But I remember being grounded and being at the drop zone and just being angry. Because skydiving was like, that's our drug. Like,
yeah, right.
And like, I remember the girl I started skydiving with when we broke up, you know, I was all depressed, all that. I remember going out to the drop zone, a little bit depressed. But then I made a jump with a guy who had a few thousand skydives. I had like 50 or 60 at the time. It was just like this epiphany jump
going right.
And went off. I'm like, this isn't what I do anymore. This is who I am. It, like, it defined me as a person. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
But I think it has helped a lot of people.
Oh, 100%. In fact, one of our veterans, I believe he's jumping in Pulaski this year. Dennis, he's a Vietnam veteran. He jumped with the program a couple times. And he told me after his second jump, he's just like, I don't know what it did, but... I can open up now. I can talk about everything.
Isn't that something?
And I think that is, I don't know the psychology behind skydiving or jumping, but it is, I don't know, not a cleansing thing, but it's a new level of something that people don't do. And I think it just breaks the seal of like, okay, this is cool. I can do this.
Yeah.
You're skydiving, and maybe that does allow you to talk a little bit more about, geez, something that I was kind of holding back on.
I think it's so much because it's such a very much in the moment thing. Like,
right.
When I'm jumping, there is absolutely nothing else I'm thinking about.
Right.
There's a guy who runs a podcast called the Lunatic Fringe Podcast, and he was saying he took a break from skydiving because he found himself in free fall angry about something that was happening on the ground. He's like, that's when I knew I had to quit for a bit. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, his buddy comes out and says, hey, you want to go make a jump? He's like, I felt nervous. This guy's got like 10,000 skydives, but hasn't jumped in a while. He's like, that's when I knew it was time to get back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Vinny, how you doing?
Good. How about you guys?
Good. Good to see you.
Good. Been a while.
Yes. I know.
And you two jump out of planes for a living? Not for a living, for enjoyment?
Are you nuts?
A little bit.
Someone's got to run this show from the ground, and that's this guy.
That's you, okay. Well, thanks for what you're doing. We were just talking about how the Freedom Free Fall, it's different locations, Madison, Amroll, or it used to be in Amroll, Pulaski. How it can be like really therapeutic.
It is.
Someone, and I'm just saying therapeutic. We're talking to Andy earlier. You know, I had done a jump and I thought it was therapeutic for me. And I was just some, you know, high college student. So, I mean, I was some college student, I should say.
Well, what
I don't know, Todd.
I said this before, but the story's worth retelling. We need to get at Amroll, I think at 12 people, you gave a discount. For pricing, like I think it was, I don't know, like I'd say $100. If you got 12 people, it was like $75.
Yeah, most drop zones offer a discount.
Like with a group.
A group.
And I think the group was 12 or 15. So yeah. I was at St. Norbert then and I wanted to get a group. So I, in the lunch line when you walk through, I just wrote, you want to get high? Call room 212, which was my room. And people called.
It's like, unbelievable, Todd. I know.
What's this all about? And I'm like, oh, you want to go skydiving? And I talked people into it. I got the 12 people. We went down there and it was like $75 instead of like $150.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, but therapeutic, nonetheless, you're this just this speck looking over, like, I don't know how many miles you can see, 60 miles. It's unbelievable.
When you're jumping out of Pulaski, you can see almost three counties.
Yeah,
really?
Right?
Huh?
Yeah,
they say it's just beautiful.
Yep. 10,000 feet, I mean, you can see a lot up there.
So how long, if you jump at 10,000 feet, how long does it take to get to the ground then?
5-7 minutes, okay. Somewhere in there.
Depends how low you pull your parachute.
Yeah,
I guess.
Right. And, you know, it all depends, too, like, size your the instructor and then the size of their jumper.
You know, I have to ask. You know? So when I did a story out there on one of the first people that were involved with this, somebody we both know really well. But there was a club that was also going to be doing some jumping where they do like stunts and weird stuff and competition. Yeah. How do people control themselves before the parachute opens? How can they do that stuff? How can they be way far and then all of a sudden come together in a ring and stuff like that?
So that's part of the whole training to get your basic skydiving license. You learn the basic skills, and now they got these wind tunnels. I think the closest one to here is near Chicago, but they practice their free fall skills. And basically, you're in free fall at 120 to 130 miles an hour. You're pushing on the air with different surfaces, control surfaces on your body.
So it's almost like a swimming type of sensation.
Yeah, sort
of.
Wow.
Or skiing, right? A water skiing. I mean, when you push, you move, right?
Yep.
And with that wind tunnel, I didn't even know they had that. There's one in Chicago?
Oh, Rosemont, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like fun, actually.
That does.
Yeah.
And you just, because you're right, I suppose if you would push your left arm, you would, you know, go right.
Yep.
And,
so
that's how they learn how to connect. Because I was talking the same thing.
How do they do that?
Pretty cool. You get four or five guys. It's like, wait, how are you guys going to hold hands?
Like, you know, you can pull up YouTube videos and you go down the rabbit hole, the wormhole, and see these for hours. You can see these videos and a lot of these guys make it look super easy.
It does.
It's not, and it takes a lot of practice. The thing with skydiving that one instructor told me years ago, where our sport is not good, is we only get a 30-second window on each skydive to practice our free fall skills.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we have to open a parachute, obviously,
that's
right?
True. Right.
Yep. That's where wind tunnels have revolutionized it, because they can be in the tunnel for hours.
Right. Craziest sport in the world, though. Those guys that those flying suits, they're almost like a flying squirrel.
The wingsuits, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's.
Would you ever do that?
I've got about 130 wingsuit jumps, but.
You've done?
Yeah, not off of cliffs or anything like that. That's the stuff that's real visual where they go
buzzing. Go through these tunnels like in ravines. Yeah.
That is.
That's oh my God. Whole different thing.
So. How would I be at that?
Yeah, right. Splat.
Here's a quick break. A lot more stuff coming up today. Stay with us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Maggie Dawn.
Coming up on the show, Maggie's back in the saddle, and we talk about Biden's top 100. This week, we're talking about the environment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons at 2.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming.